Well, good morning once again. Our scripture text is taken from the Gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter 14 in verse 5. And they criticized her sharply. Will be our text this morning. But let's set it in its context by reading Mark chapter 14 verses 1 through 9. After 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people." And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came, having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me, for you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." And those words of the Lord are being fulfilled this very morning. This was the third anointing of Jesus Christ by a woman during his earthly ministry. Luke records the first at the house of Simon the Pharisee earlier in our Lord's ministry. And John records the second anointing 6 days before the Passover. Having set the context, we will move from teaching to application. That which arises from our text, and they criticized her sharply along these lines: the causes of a critical spirit, the results of a critical spirit. You're going to see some overlap here. We see that the critical spirit tends to perpetuate itself. And finally, an exhortation for the Christ-like spirit to characterize us all. First, the causes of a critical spirit. We begin with pride. When one says in his heart, "I am it, and there is none besides me." The person full of pride imagines himself or herself to be better than others. And when that imagination is perceived to be threatened, others must be knocked down. Did not the disciples in our passage at hand belittle this woman who had done what she could, anointing Jesus? Did they not see their own manner of service as greater than this good lady? No, everyone has a better idea as to how other people should serve, and especially how other people should spend their money. There's a whole movement in our country today that wishes to make this concept a reality, and with considerable success. Envy. Envy also leads to a critical spirit, but we are told that love does not envy. And if we love him, we will keep his commandments. And so a critical spirit cannot develop if one truly lives in the love of Christ. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Better to repent of this than to harden the sin of nursing a prideful, envious, and critical spirit. For many people, many homes, many businesses, and sadly, even many churches have been brought down by these things. Ignorance of truth is a common cause of a critical spirit. And we have a perfect example of this in the Gospel of John. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 41. The Jews then complained about him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Well, Jesus responds perfectly, as he always does, and he responds with divine truth. "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Now, there were a few folks who accepted this word from the Lord. But there were many who preferred to continue to engage in their critical spirit, even with regard to the truth. As we also see after this, the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And again, "Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand this?' And again, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." See, some folks can be awfully stubborn when they're hit with the truth. But I'm sure that none of you wish to nurse criticism over truth. And so, you will resolve today to know and to understand the truth more, to get into your Bible more, knowing that the words of Christ are true. "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The results of a critical spirit. Now we have a subtext for this point, which we'll be working off of, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. And 4. "If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions." Now here the Apostle Paul has just preached the truth of the gospel, and he has communicated this to Timothy, that Timothy might further communicate it to the church under his authority. We have 10 points that we find here from just these two verses, which speak to the results of a critical spirit. First, the individual with the critical spirit does not consent to wholesome words. He refuses godly counsel. Second, the one with the critical spirit does not accept and disputes doctrine which accords with godliness. Embracing false doctrine or twisting the scriptures in order to justify one's own sin patterns. He is proud. Friends, we're either getting more proud or more humble. Knowing nothing, for the Spirit does not have a place in the critical man's thoughts. There is a refusal of that which Christ spoke in the upper room. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify Christ. The fifth result of a critical spirit that we find written to Timothy here is that such a one is obsessed with disputes, always looking for something to argue about. And the arguments are not even significant. The arguments are over words. The one with the critical spirit is forever making mountains out of molehills. Envy, of which we have already spoken. Strife. Here's a big one. You want to get on the bad side of the Lord? Create strife. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. Proud look, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift and running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Reviling, speaking evil of others, engaging in character assassination. And why do people do this? Because they think that it makes themselves look better. And finally, evil suspicions, paranoia. You know, if you ever heard the saying, there used to be a song, like a little jingle, paranoia, self-destroyer. Okay, so all right. So somebody, I'm not the only one who's heard that one. And then the king, right? We can't go on together with suspicious minds. So we got some, it's not in the Bible, but it's pretty good advice, at least that line of that song. Finally, an exhortation for the Christ-like spirit to characterize us all. The Christ-like spirit and the critical spirit are antonyms. They're opposites. One is of God, one is of evil, one is of the devil. May our conduct be without guile, without deceit. I'd like to be like Nathanael. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered, said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Wouldn't you like that to be said of you? Behold, a Christian in whom there is no deceit. May our conduct also be honest, honorable before God and man, without dissension, without drama, and without discord, in the spirit of divine love, for Jesus himself said, "These things I command you, that you what? Love one another." And finally, may our conduct be according to the fruit of the Spirit, characterized by love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And Paul writes that to the Galatians at the end of that letter. Seems like Paul was in the habit of warning the churches against a critical spirit. For such is a common sin that men fall into. And so, after the manner of our Lord, after the manner of the apostles, and after the manner of the early church, we do likewise. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we pray after this manner. Each and every one of us, if there is any critical spirit within me, Lord, show me what that is, where that is, and what area of my life it's in. What might be the root cause of it, and grow me into the likeness of your Son in that area. Lord, we're all sinners, and we all need your help. We all need a Savior each and every day. And we thank you that you've provided that Savior, Jesus Christ, to come down to pay the penalty for our sin, all of our sin, even our sin of nursing a critical spirit or a spirit otherwise contrary to your will, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that if we have believed upon you in faith, that we are justified, but we thank you that you do not stop there and that you work actively in our lives, sanctifying us, setting us apart for holiness as the day approaches. Lord, may your church be a training ground for heaven. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here and for all these brothers and sisters. We pray that you will guide us as we move forward and that you will maintain the beautiful spirit that you have created and caused to dwell in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.